Chapter 12. Names and Answers. She whispered in my head,
"Why do you linger here?"
I could ask you the same thing.
"You answer first, please."
Does it really matter to you?
"Yes."
This is a place of power. There are secrets to learn before I move on. I pointed at the ceiling of the satellite platform. Names, each a unique spell that was cast before we got here. Not survivors, but witnesses of things horrible and saints.
"What is my name?"
You're Tegan McKittrick, but don't change the subject.
"I'm not a survivor. Am I a saint or something worse?"
Far worse. You're my only friend.
"That bad?"
She smiled with a growing ethereal sheen. It was as if my presence amplified hers. "Now it's your turn. Why are you still here?"
"I'm confused. I don't know which door I should choose, but I'm drawn to you in that silver light. You could say I've grown attached."
"There are other lights to places where you'll get a new start. The Emperor awaits your presence within the Sea of Souls." McKittrick wavered.
"Does he? Because I don't see him here. I only see you."
It was a first for our ongoing chats. She was great at peeling away the layers of my soul, but hadn't shared her own. "Whatever happened to the one that didn't work out?" Her pale blue eyes dimmed.
"He died."
"What was his name?"
"I can barely remember my own name."
"There you go again, dodging the question. Aren't we friends?"
Okay. His name was Jovan."
"And mine?"
"Parik."
"Good. When you leave, don't forget to say goodbye."
"You too,"
she whispered, fading away. I wasn't going anywhere. The final surgery had taken longer than expected, and it was a full 2 days before my consciousness made an appearance in the same room as my body. It was a time for surprises, pleasant and otherwise. I had behaved amidst the boredom. Having checked in on Whisper, I scooped away her excess warp energy and admired her incredible source of power. The ritual helped us both. I'd spent more time hanging out in the empty satellite lounge, studying the graffiti, mapping the landscape below, and searching for patterns in the city around me. There was no doubt in my mind that it was a place of power and the crux of everything in my life. As another well-trod crossroads on my path, Skola Sikana was living up to its legend. Besides Whisper, there were others on my mind, some worthy of my attention and some not. I'd done my best to maintain my distance, but for some reason, I had my own fan club. One was a compelling clan recruiter, and the other was a confused, yet beguiling ghost. McKittrick tended to visit during downtime, allowing me some space, and she only showed herself when she was ready to talk. Her light brown hair was long, far longer than I'd seen it on the shuttle in. Lexi would show up whenever, making the long climb up to the satellite platform and leaning on the rail a few paces to my right. Unlike McKittrick, she had issues to discuss, but always seemed too troubled to voice that which mattered most. She wore one mask around Galt and another around me. Loneliness and loss seemed to rule us all, and I didn't mind the silent company one bit. Upon waking up in the Medic K, my first surprise was the nearly empty wardroom. No inquisitors, interrogators, or proctors waited to give me the third degree. Like I said, I'd behaved. The second surprise was the one person present, holding my hand from a chair beside my bed. The amber eyes of Helix watched as I opened mine for the first time in days. She didn't let go. A warm buzz seemed to flow through me at her touch, and I felt immensely better for it. The Medic-K machines and their mixology couldn't compete.
"Hi,"
she said. Her eyes had lost most, if not all, of their disdain. "Why?" I whispered back. I couldn't take the edge off the sentiment, but it was an honest thought.
"I'm not a monster."
I dove deep into that comment, sinking to the bottom and kicking off, heading back to the surface. "No, you're certainly not. Who let you in here?"
"A man named Centelles brought me in after Commissar Belling held his teaching moment."
My mouth began to water. I was sure I knew the answer, but had to ask, what constitutes a teaching moment?
"A mandatory assembly of Skola Sikana, including all the proctors and students. It was a highly intimate gathering, sprinkled with Sisters of the Abyss, and a compelling video starring the Commissar and his bolt pistol."
"What did Belling say?"
"Nothing. He walked in with Delia Barmasset, signaled for the video to begin, and tapped his fingers with each shot while staring daggers at everyone present. When the video ended, he turned and walked out."
I wasn't the first Sanctionite to catch Trasker Belling's ire, and I wouldn't be the last. While I was here, I would be a shield to those who cared to stand with me or behind me. And how did everyone take it?
Badly. Whisper cried, and she wasn't the only one. Dozens vomited from the violent combination of the sisters' null effects and the Commissar's unfiltered implications. Others sat frozen in fear or shock. It's as if Belling wanted us all to experience the event as if it was happening to us. Even the proctors seemed stunned.
I was impressed. Commissar Belling used everything to his advantage. There's nothing like a bit of well-edited terror to keep a dangerous group of teenagers in line. Some of it might have explained Lexi's newly disconnected manner. I sought Helix's amber eyes. Are you okay? She tried to laugh, but somehow it came out as a sob. She shook her head. Who's guarding the door?
Helgun. He didn't introduce himself.
She shrugged. I knew how to get her back on track. I thought I'd be feeling a whole lot worse. What's the damage, Doc?
You've had several bones replaced with reinforced yet genetically compatible implants, and you carry fewer pins and screws than before. Your sternum was the biggest procedure, and will likely be causing you the most pain until the cartilage around it fully binds to the synthetic bone. The new bones are significantly stronger, but less functional. The marrow in other parts of your body will be working overtime to keep up with your future needs.
You look tired. Need a lift.
I could use a long nap.
I struggled to move over and found out about the pain. The cartilage around my ribcage hadn't settled, not even close.
Maybe some other time?
She smiled. How does one maintain wisdom and innocence all at the same time? Helix managed it, and I admired her for the balance she'd found. We were complete opposites, yet somehow, we'd made a truce. I proceeded to ruin it by telling her the truth. Helix, I didn't start out in the Underhive, and it was never my choice to go there.
It never is.
She shot back and caught herself.
My father said the same thing to me the night he tried to cut a deal to protect his special daughter. I never saw him after that. 1 week later, we got a notice from the city's recycler thanking us for the donation.
My shields were down, and I caught her meaning square in the chest. I'd gotten whatever I deserved. Helix stood and stretched for my benefit.
I'll be back tomorrow.
The young woman had seen one of my videos and gotten the merest glimpse of my psyker life. It had somehow recast her to care when she might have followed the advice of her past and kept her distance. The door didn't slam on her way out. 4 more weeks in the Medic K passed, gracing me with further Helix healing sessions and enough common sense to avoid touchy subjects. The doctors assured me that my recovery time was a fraction of what it would have been otherwise. They'd implanted far more than better bones, and I was tested daily for neurological changes as new, more esoteric sensations pulsed in my head. The simple explanation was that I was getting a head start, but they didn't say for what. Helix was the one to break the news. She'd waited a few weeks, letting the tidal wave of sternum replacement pain subside before mentioning the tiny devices embedded into my skull, an inch behind each ear. Helix didn't know what the implants were or why they hadn't been explained. Unfortunately, Uluxio Centelles had made himself scarce, leaving that difficult conversation for another time. At night, I would travel as a ghost through the sector's grounds, learning the nocturnal patterns and looking for familiar faces. I would always end up at the satellite, sitting ethereally on the edge, and as often as not, McKittrick would join me, doing her best to be a friend. I didn't mind the distraction, but wondered at a way out for the tethered, forlorn spirit. Lexi did Tegan one better. She visited me in the Medic K and confessed to calling in the report that nearly killed me. She played along with Galt's midnight scheme of chucking me off the ledge, as had Rasa. It had been Galt's idea and a test for all of us, and because of that, it wasn't entirely in good fun. Funnel Galt was a narcissistic, controlling, jealous type who knew that I'd caught the eye of many with my obvious funnel abilities. He was used to being the prime act on the stage of Balagim. According to Lexi, Rasa was one of my many admirers, and Galt was one of the few in Balagim to take the Commissar's video message in stride. What does one take away from all that? Nothing good. On the day of my release, Uluxio Centelles fitted me with a new collar. While it had all the functionality of the previous version, it was lighter, more flexible, and fit perfectly around my neck, as if it was custom made. Why? I said.
You've made some new friends over the past month,
he replied. I'd done nothing of the sort from my Medicaid bed. Helix continued to keep me at arm's length, while Lexi remained an enigma. None of the proctors had visited as I'd hoped. They were all sufficiently intimidated by the commissar's message declaring me persona non grata. The collar was a device denoting ownership and control. I was someone's overly dangerous property, perhaps the pet project of the highest bidder or a slave, and I wondered at the reason for the sudden change in temperature. There was something sinister about it. Does the collar have a termination switch? Centelles knew exactly what I meant, and his hesitation answered before he could smooth it over.
Yes, one that is more secure. It will be disabled at the right time.
Feth. I could only hope that someone cared for their investment. As a gargoyle, I'd thought long and hard about who my friends were and why. In the end, I wasn't sure if I had any at all. Walls had gone up, and the isolation I felt was blistering. I'd made a list of faces I would confront as soon as I got out of the Medicaid alive. Where's Proctor Chinasa? I figured he'd be here to help get me sorted and back into the Psychana system.
You've been set aside for the moment. Somebody made a big mistake when it came to judging your talents, and the proctors are scrambling to decide what to do with you.
Maybe I wasn't your average sanctionite, but my talents weren't the real problem. Others had come through swinging a stronger glaive than I. Who screwed up? This time Centelles answered without pause.
I did.
Does set aside mean I've been expelled?
Suspended, but for your own good.
What do I do now?
Get used to your new collar. It protects you as much as it does everyone else.
That's it?
No. Come with me.
A hellgun-toting guard, times two, waited outside the door. It was a welcome sight compared to Commissar Belling, his cuddly bolt pistol, or the black-clad Sisters of the Abyss. Where are we going?
Do you have other appointments?
Several. I'd been physically cleared and prepared for my release, but what followed could only be construed as being entirely cruel for its apparent kindness. We walked to the sector's only obvious exit, taking the lower-level tramway one stop to the north. We were completely outside Skola Psychana's boundaries as we emerged into Psychana City's busy Ground Zero sector. Foot and drone traffic whirred in all directions around us as we walked to the nearest service lift with hell guns front and back. The scene was unsettlingly familiar.
Silver, we'll need you for this next part.
Centelles pointed to the lift's biosensor. I pressed my thumb to the indentation, and a green light appeared. The interrogator spoke.
Overhive, Killhaven.
And the lift took off. 2 minutes later, the doors opened onto a gleaming silver and marble hallway, lined with multi-hued vegetation. I'd never seen anything like it. Real sunlight poured in around us as we walked to a door 30 paces away. The air tasted cleaner, richer in content, and my head felt dizzier for it. Through the doors, there was another layer of security and a palatial residence full of activity. Uniformed couriers, guards, and servants rallied to their appointed tasks. Dressed like an asylum escapee, I did my best to stay out of the way. Did we come at a bad time? I tried not to complain. Centelles scanned the various faces in the giant crystal-laden foyer.
We're a touch early. Please follow me.
We took a set of stairs up to the next level and entered a library with a large desk dominating the far corner. Dean Sindar Killhaven tapped at its embedded screens. Around us, a vast array of terminals and stacks of restricted information waited patiently for someone's attention. Drones circled overhead while others pecked at controls throughout the two-story room. Dean Killhaven waved and pointed to a table in the center of it all. Centelles and I took a seat, looking across a virtual desktop that matched the one embedded in the dean's desk. The contents of my file were strewn everywhere, as if it had been dropped or dissected only moments before we'd arrived. There were far more details than I expected. From his spot in the corner, the dean's voice could be heard as if he was sitting beside me.
For the record, I am Dean Sindar Killhaven of Skola Psychana. This is a hearing to clarify certain events and review evidence that will impact your future standing as a psyker for the Imperium. Interrogator Uluxio Centelles will act as a witness for the duration of this session. Are we clear?
Yes, I said out loud.
What is your name?
Peric Silver.
Good. Names are important. Now Exhibit A.
A video filled our tabletop. The sound and resolution had been pre-filtered. The flow of time slowed. Each projectile emitted from Commissar Belling's bolt pistol could be seen and tracked from the barrel of his weapon to its impact, or not, with my body. My aura and the psychic barrier that I wore remained invisible, leaving only a physical representation of the imparted momentum of each shot. In the scene behind Belling, two sisters of the Abyss stood, their eyes filled with awe at the ferocity of the encounter. Dean Kilhaven let it run until the end, as the video zoomed in on my unconscious form and the backs of the three as they departed.
Why did you do it?
I looked across the table at Centelles, and then into the corner at the Dean. Do what? The Dean almost seethed as he spoke.
Why didn't you run?
I couldn't, I said, offering vague for vague. I searched the tabletop for pieces I could use in my defense, not knowing the crime. I'd fallen into a trap, and there wasn't any other way out.
How old are you?
18.
What is your name?
Peric Silver.
Good. Names are important. Now Exhibit B.
Another video filled our tabletop. It was the same as before, only this one displayed one critical difference from the first, mapping in the layers of energy that flowed around me before, during, and after each kill shot that Belling attempted. My shield lit up like a silver spider, dispersing the stunning impacts and converting them into another form of energy. My radiant barrier grew stronger with each strike, while my physical body broke down behind the abuse.
Where did you learn to do that?
Proctor Veruca Round showed me.
When?
While I was in the Medicaid ward after the Sisters of the Abyss subdued me. Master Centelles was there.
Master Centelles, if Commissar Traska Belling shot Proctor Veruca Round in the chest, would she still be with us?
No, sir.
Why not?
For one, her shield only protects against warp energy. And two, she would never have the resolve to hold it steady against a true threat, or under that much duress. That's why she's here teaching instead of assisting an Ordo Malleus crew.
Dean Kilhaven queried me again.
What is your name?
Peric Silver.
Good. Names are important. Now, Exhibit C.
A different video, one that was recorded inside the courtyard of House Balajem. It was filtered and slowed enough that we could follow three flashes of silvery white light as they jumped from my palm to the statue of Horatio Balajem, War Master Extraordinaire. The third and final flash passed through the statue's missing upper half and struck the blue-tinted shield overhead, completely shattering that spell.
How many psychers were you funneling when you did that?
10. 5 into the target and 5 into a reserve. Dean Kilhaven seemed to flinch.
How old are you?
18.
What planet are you from?
Fulcrum 4 in the Segmentum Pacificus.
What is your name?
Peric Silver.
Good. Names are important. Now, Exhibit D.
A video from a familiar spot overlooking Psychana. A party was underway and a friendly brawl. Funnel Galt dropped to the upper deck, out cold, and Rasa backed her way to oblivion. At least that's what I thought at the time. Everything had been a setup. The video ended as I swapped places with the young woman and disappeared over the edge.
Why did you do it?
Kilhaven added a touch of heat to his otherwise icy voice. I thought she was going to fall to her death.
So you went instead?
I'd fallen into a trap, and there wasn't any other way out. They knew it. I didn't.
What is the girl to you?
She's a fellow Sanctionite. I'd only met her that evening, but she seemed worth saving. The Dean stared at me in silence for a full minute, maybe 5, acting as if I'd punched him in the throat. Finally, Master Centelles spoke up.
Shall we continue?
Another image appeared on the tabletop, a still of me looking back toward Brian List as I was escorted off the Emperor's Talon and out of their lives for good. Dean Kilhaven circled the attentive pair.
Who is Bree Halland?
A woman on Inquisitor Teodoro Locke's crew.
What is she to you?
At this moment, nothing. Nothing at all. I could do Icy as well as the rest of them.
What is your name?
Peric Silver.
Good. Names are important. Now, Exhibit F.
A still picture inside a service lift, my finger pressing a biosensor as it turned green.
When Master Centelles requested the Overhive Sector, what did you think would happen?
Out of habit. I hadn't thought of anything. I shrugged. Nice place you have here.
How does it compare to an Overhive on Fulcrum 4?
Does it matter?
Your identity matters. Your name matters.
My name is Peric Silver. That's all that matters. Upon arrival, I'd been a cadaver. Still a cadaver, I was buried even deeper than before.
Do you remember how you got that name?
I joined an Underhive gang. The boss called me Silver due to the unreal color of my eyes. That was at least half the story.
So said Inquisitor Locke's cursory report. He also said you were a rabbit that lured out a fox and that you should be commended for your efforts. What sort of fox was Inquisitor Locke hunting?
You know the type of foxes that Ordo Malleus hunts. I was still acting like a rabbit, trying to dodge the hounds of Ordo Hereticus. Killhaven smiled, chasing me down a hole.
The initial reports from Fulcrum 4 mentioned possession and rumors of a witch. Are you that witch?
I pushed up my sleeve and showed him my mocking eagle scar. You know that I'm not. The dean fired back, pinning the rabbit.
Who was Parrot Killhaven?
I don't know.
What is your name?
Parrick Silver.
Good. Names are important, and so is the name Killhaven. Parrick Killhaven turned 18 shortly before he died. Our investigators were thorough in collecting his personal history, but I'm not sure we have the entire story.
A death certificate popped up on the tabletop with a face that bore every resemblance to mine, especially in hardship and pain endured. Oddly, someone had edited the image, circling my face with a heart. It was my turn to pry. I thought the Ordo Malleus sent over all the pertinent reports.
They did, but they always seem to leave out the most important details, especially where Ordo Hereticus is concerned. Is there anything you'd like to tell us? Any name you'd like to mention that could help fill in the gaps? For your future, we need to understand who you really are.
Proctor Alicante said the same, and I told her Parrick Silver.
I'm asking, not as Inquisitor Killhaven of Ordo Hereticus or as Dean of Sykana, but as Sindar Killhaven, head of House Killhaven on Terra. You have highly valuable skills, but we can't approve the right path without further evidence to bolster our trust in you.
As far as I knew, the only thing that Sindar Killhaven and I had in common was our name. Maybe we were 100th cousins or something, but names mattered almost as much as answers. Will you and Master Centellez answer my questions if I give you a worthy name to follow?
Yes.
Captain Marcus Thorin of Shadow Legion. His Astartes company is based in orbit around Fulcrum 4. Dean Killhaven breathed a sigh of relief.
Thank you.
You're welcome. What did you put in my head?
Channelers, they're nothing for you to be concerned about for the time being.
Why not?
Sykana owns Parrick Silver for the next 10 months. Your duty is to this scholar and to me. Others will come into play only if you forget who you are.
I looked across at Centellez as a name popped into my head. Did Sanctionite Mateen forget who he was? Centellez stared back.
Yes, but in a far worse way than you.
In some ways, my reality seemed to hinge on the former Psyker Sanctionite, a young man I'd never even met. I needed to know if Mateen was truly a monster, and if so, how he got that way. More than that, I needed to know if I was on my way to becoming him. What did Mateen do? Centellez didn't hold back.
He sexually assaulted a fellow Sanctionite and tried to blame Funnel Galt for the crime.
In the Imperium of Mankind, the assault was an act punishable by death. Centellez did his own quick table tapping and brought up another video showing a venomous dark-haired young man raving at a recording device in a holding cell. Mateen was completely unhinged. He screamed about Rasa and how she should never have looked at Galt. Rasa was his and his alone, and for that, Mateen felt he had to set her straight. The video log made me sick, not only for the horribly savage nature of the rant, but for the fact that Mateen had clearly lost his mind. Too much warp energy could erode our senses. We were given daily evals by gifted readers to measure the effects the warp had on our minds. How could they not see a young man going over the edge? Did you look at all of his other videos? I whispered. His last eval sessions, for example.
Why would we?
Said Dean Killhaven.
He confessed immediately, and we have the video evidence of him committing the crime.
Please humor me. Centellez sighed and queued up another sequence, one showing Mateen sitting across from Proctor Jun Alicante.
This one was recorded the day before the attack.
In this video, Mateen was clear-eyed and well-behaved. The young man seemed in awe of the beautiful woman and made every effort to answer her questions. Proctor Alicante's follow-up notes highlighted the man's clear and calm demeanor. Mateen's trust and control scores had been rising steadily. She didn't sense any deception or conflict in his mind, but somewhere in the ensuing 24 hours, someone had thrown a psychopathic switch in his head. Having been there, I had my own suspicions. Someone was eliminating the competition. Did Mateen have any conflicts with other Sanctionites outside of Balagem?
He was known to run patrols during downtime, so he may have come into contact with other neutrals. Nothing out of the ordinary was reported.
Who ran the investigation?
Commissar Belling. The attack happened during Skola hours and was caught on video. There was no doubt that Mateen had perpetrated a heinous crime.
Mateen hadn't fought to maintain his control when he should have, or maybe he had, and stark raving madness was the result. Either way, he'd been shipped off to the front lines of the latest crusade and wasn't coming back. Dean Kilhaven kept his eyes on the bigger prize.
I should enter this conversation as yet another exhibit. Parek Silver forgets who he is.
No, I'm not. I'm simply remembering that I've got the ear of an Ordo Hereticus Inquisitor while a witch is stalking Skola Sykana.